It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hola, amigos. It is Wednesday, midway point of your work week. We will officially welcome you to that here shortly. Got plenty to get into today. 1 week from today, the NBA draft. Daniel Salison will join us this hour. Sean Fazand as well, as the Saints get back to work. We'll get into that and more. Plus, the Masters starts tomorrow. Robert Emmett in hour number two from Golf Tech. We'll start talking about some of the storylines there. Ralph Marlborough and the Cajun Ninja in hour number three.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more that Camel Wednesday day, is that what it is?
Day is Shot Gina Digital Underground. Head coach Sean of the Peyton already had his conference call this morning. What he had to say right here in the opening segment. We'll play it. His thoughts on the 49ers. Are you concerned at all, Jordan? We'll talk a little bit about that here coming as well. Fantasy football players. Some news for you. Words of wisdom.
And to all the ladies, peace and humpiness forever.
Don't forget, of course, tomorrow on Thursday, Ben Heisler will have who to sit, who to start. By the way, have you lost a game yet? Fantasy football, is the streak still alive?
I lost this week. I did lose this week.
You did?
Yes.
Who beat you, by the way?
I'm not going to give them
No respect,
I'm not
going
to give them any airtime.
Boy, you're a sore loser, aren't you? You're something else. You only won like eight in a row. You can at least give credit to the person that knocked you off the pedestal there.
We're in week eight and nine for some teams.
I haven't looked. I couldn't tell you if I won or lost. I don't know.
That's horrible.
No, not really. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. Buddy, back over in the LaRose studios, will say hello to you when he answers the phone call. Give us your name, give us your topic, and let's get on with it because we've got plenty to get into today. Kind of start priming you and getting you ready. A special Sports Hangover Draft Day special next Wednesday, a week from today. Daniel will be here with you. Are my hopes to hear from, you know, the Graf and Joel and Antonio and JD and some players and coaches and staff and all of that. As we get you ready for the draft, Pelicans, how many picks they have, who are they looking at, perhaps? We're going to, you know, we got you. We're going to have you ready next Wednesday, I promise, from 12 to 3. So a very Pelicans-heavy draft special next Wednesday, 12 to 3, to get you ready for the draft. Pels have a handful of picks, including the 13th overall in the first round. Nice history with some players. Daniel will start touching on that today. So keep it here as we are your home for Pelicans basketball. Right around the corner, Jordan, December 22nd, the NBA start date. Don't know if the Pels play on the opening night. They may not, but that's a Tuesday. More than likely Wednesday will be the Pels' first game if they don't play on the opening night. So it's around there, right? It's going to be Christmas week. Christmas, as you know, Jordan, is?
December 25th.
Friday the 25th. You know who plays Friday the 25th?
The Saints.
Against your...
The dreaded Vikings.
Minnesota Vikings, which for some reason they have it as a 3:30 game. I don't know. I guess they're trying to get some of the Christmas crowd before they go out and hang out. I think this should have been a Friday night game, right? Why is that not a 7 p.m. kickoff?
Friday night game.
Why is that not a Friday night? Why is that?
It's a
Friday night. It's 3:30. It's a 3:30 kickoff.
I didn't see the time.
Yeah, it's 3:30 kickoff. I have no idea why that's not a 7 p.m. game.
I
don't know. Doesn't seem right. You know? I mean, it's Christmas. You got lunch, you got family and all of that, and I don't understand why it's...
What's a better time? You celebrate the game, not kill two birds with one stone.
That's not the Vikings. That's one of those antacid games, man, you know?
Especially on Christmas.
Maybe this is the year they look good against the Vikings. We'll see. But that's second quarter of the season as they get ready for the third quarter of the season. San Francisco, they enter the week, Jordan, 9.5-point favorites. 9.5-point favorites here on Wednesday as they start their work week. San Francisco 4-5 on the year. Now they're 3-1 away 3-1 away, and they have a ton of injuries. I mean, pick a spot, Jordan. They basically either have a player lost for the season or not playing for a while. Remember last week, the big news that came out was, of course, Jimmy G, the quarterback. He was going to be out a little bit with the foot injury, right? Foot or ankle injury, I think is what it was, high ankle sprain. And Kittle's has the fracture. So either way, we're not seeing them this week. I'm not saying there's that sense of overconfidence or not, right? But we did talk about yesterday, this is a game that needs to not be a close game, if that makes any sense, right? I thought that this morning, more than likely, in the team meeting, head coach Sean Payton would likely do what? I would assume remind the players of what happened Sunday. I mean, they were getting ready for their own game, Jordan. Very big game, right? Sunday night. But maybe they got to watch some of the game, but I'm sure they're well aware that Pittsburgh almost lost at Dallas, right? That's something to bring up a little bit here. We've seen a couple of teams that have struggled against some weaker opponents if you're not careful and ready. That win against Tampa puts you in a very good spot. You can somewhat, I think, control your destiny. I know it's a little early to start saying you can control your own destiny and stuff, but I still think the pathway to one or the pathway to winning your division is in your hands at the very least. At least the NFC South, it's in your hands, right? Take care of your business. And when you look at that schedule, I get it. It's the NFL. You can win or lose on any given week. But there's some games where at the very least you step on the field and you're ready to go, that you got to take care of. And that's Sunday's game. You got to take care of. 9.5-point favorites, a team that's very injury riddled. And if you're going to do what you did on Sunday, you should be able to at least win the game. Again, Sunday was, it's a game that you just put in the top five. You know, you take it for what it is. You take a snapshot. You remember, that's not normal.
Trophy case game.
Yeah, exactly. That's not normal. That's one of those you go, man, it all worked. Because we have seen games where nothing works, right? I mean, we've seen that. Not saying this is going to happen, but you got to look at it differently. Hence the question of the day. What are the top storylines heading into this? I found myself, I came up with three off the top of my head, speaking with Mike this morning over at the gym, Jordan. We're kind of doing show prep right there in the cardio machine. And I'm like, you know, I find that some of those are football related, but they're more mental. My talking points this week, or rather my things to get ready for this game, are more mental. Look, those guys are NFL players. Those guys are going to be paid, and those guys have absolutely no pressure on them right now, right? I mean, when you look at it, if you're San Francisco, I mean, you're not supposed to win. You're almost a double-digit underdog on the road. And while they're in last place in the NFC West, Jordan, they're only two wins away from the top team in Seattle. Would you say the Cardinals and Rams have been teams that have been respected in the NFC West this year? Right? You don't think so? You don't think people have been talking about them being playoff teams? Rams and the Cardinals?
I've heard more about the Cardinals than the Rams, I'd have to say.
Okay, well, regardless, you know how many wins they have? Five. How many wins does San Francisco have? Four. You can do this kind of math, can't you? They one win away. Now in the loss column, Rams and Cardinals have three, 49ers have five. But my point is, getting to 500 for them would be a big deal. Not completely out of it just yet. He had half of the season, a little bit less than that. They've played nine games. It's a big game for them, especially with all those injuries. Now, they could be looking at it as, you know what, it's next year. We've lost too many people. There's really no sense in that. But even Chris Collinsworth, and them, and even the people on Monday Night Football that were talking about Lewis Riddick and Greasy, right? They were saying, look, competitors play. You can't tell them to tank and do that. I mean, the Jets tried to win that game on Monday, right? Did you watch the Monday Night Football game? The Jets tried to win that game, even though it behooves them probably not to. So you got to be ready to play. And I found my top storylines are these three. Number one, Jordan, make it a three-quarter game. Remember a couple seasons ago when Tua was in Alabama? Remember he had that ridiculous stretch where he didn't play the fourth quarter? Remember that?
They
lost that season to Clemson. But my point is, it was ridiculous. Like, there was no, I mean, he didn't play the fourth quarter of games. And I'm not saying make it a three-quarter game and be disrespectful. My point is, this doesn't need to be a game that's decided in the fourth quarter. Does that make sense? I might even take it a step further. Let me see Jameis Winston in the fourth. I'm okay with the Saints up 24 points, 20 points, quarter to play. But in Jameis. Like, that's what I want the game decided like that. I want it to have that sense and feel. Because in other words, take care of your business at halftime. Take care of this game at the end of three. When the scoreboard has the double zeros at the end of three, I want to feel comfortable, not confident, comfortable. The Saints are now, you know, I can put in some other players, you know, we're getting ready for Atlanta. That's not being disrespectful. That means go take care of your business. This team has a ton of injuries on offense. You get moving on offense, start putting up some points. There's no way I think San Francisco to come. This is not the team from last year. They're not going to go toe-to-toe. And last year, with that team that was really good, that, you know, went you know where, that team went down big early. Saints defense just couldn't stop them. But the Saints jumped out ahead early on San Francisco. So I don't know what you have to do, Jordan. I don't know if you have to remind the team. This is the team last year that, you know, was one of those losses that hurt you from getting the top seed. They went to the Super Bowl. So I don't know if that's what you need, whatever motivation you need, but my top storyline is make this a three-quarter game. This does not need to be a game decided in the fourth quarter. Number two, Michael Jordan said it best several times in a documentary, the 10-part series. You remember the 10-part series, Jordan? What was the one phrase he kept saying over and over again? It's now one of his famous memes. It's probably the meme of memes.
I took that personally.
I took that personally. Look at you, Jordan. I didn't even tell you about that, huh? You knew it.
No, I knew it.
You know why I was going there with that? Name a player that would probably and should take that motto and put it in his locker. I'll give you a hint. He plays defense.
Marcus Williams?
Close, yeah. He could be one, too.
But Marshawn Lattimore?
Marshawn Lattimore. Last week, how many receptions did Mike Evans have?
I want three or zero?
Zero. Zero. Three straight games, he's had zero receptions. Bucks receiver.
I think Mike
on Lattimore.
No, I think Mike Evans.
No, on Lattimore. On Lattimore.
Oh, on Lattimore.
On
okay.
Lattimore.
Gotcha. Yeah,
right.
Gotcha.
On Lattimore. Zero. Third straight game. Because he took it personally. He quote tweeted somebody that had the last three games, the receptions and targets. Two targets, zero receptions, the last three games. And Marshawn Lattimore quote tweeted that person and said, better luck next year. He took it personally. Michelle Tafoya. Had a report in the game. You remember the report in the game from Michelle Tafoya on the sideline? She said, Marshawn Lattimore said, I want to shut him down and humiliate. He took it personally. You know who they're facing this week in San Francisco? Brandon Ayuk, rookie receiver. Now, should the rookie receiver have any receptions on Marshawn Lattimore?
No.
If he happens to be lined up against him?
No.
That's my point. Take it personally. If you can shut down a guy like Mike Evans, then a rookie receiver shouldn't be catching anything on you. Take it personally. Marshawn Lattimore and some of these players need to take this game personally. Number three. Do you want to be great or are you going to be great? It's a difference. It's kind of like the glass thing that you can't stand that I bring up to you all the time. Probably because you always pick the wrong one.
Probably.
Yeah. But do you understand what I mean when I say, do you want to be great or are you going to be great? You can say all you want, I want to be a great player. Are you going to be a great player? You know the difference between that? Effort, desire, and work.
Mindset.
Correct. There's a very good example of a player that has taken that mantra and helped himself this year. Who would you think it is? He plays defense. Plays on a D-line.
Trey Hendrickson.
Trey Hendrickson. I mean, he even said it this week when he was talking about Arians and everybody. That guy, he's just like, hey, give me an opportunity, whatever. Not satisfied. That guy has no business being third in the NFL. Think of how many defensive linemen are severely overpaid compared to him. And I'm not saying overpaid. I'm saying, I used the wrong phrase. Make more money than Trey Hendrickson. Right? So that's what I mean. Do the Saints want to be great, or are they going to be great? Being great means you go out there and show that you are. Go take care of business. That's a simple point to me. That's what I'm saying. None of this has even been about matchups. It's about mindset. The Saints want to be great? Go be great. This game shouldn't be a third, shouldn't be a fourth quarter game. Sean Fazan, Fox 8, joins us next. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Savings start now. Greg LeBlanc, Toyota in Houma. Huge discounts plus year-end incentives make now the best time to upgrade at Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Super year-end deals. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners marked on sale. Plus, get up to $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book for your trade. The time is now for super year-end pricing. Check out the inventory online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Hollywood Road in Houma.
Etel Business. Your business, our priority. Business is fast, so you need to stay ahead with internet, phone, and Wi-Fi that's even faster. For a limited time, when you purchase two business services, you get 3 months free. That means your business is backed by Etel's reliable network, powered by local experts. Save now on the speed you need to run your business and get 3 months free with two or more services. Call 798-7952 or visit etelbusiness.com. Etel Business. Your business, our priority.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingill with the Sports Hangover for Men's Total Health. Having paid them a visit at their office in Metairie and speaking with Shane, I've learned so much about the effects of low testosterone and how it's not only physical. You would be surprised at how hormone imbalance can affect your daily life, emotionally, sexually, even sleep patterns. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. Get back to feeling your best with Men's Total Health. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment with Andrea today. They accept all major insurances and tell them you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Some Drew Holiday news we'll pass along here shortly as Mark Stein just tweeted a little bit ago. What was it?
An hour ago.
What did he say real quick before you, Sean?
The Hawks have emerged as a potential trade destination for Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is a multiple team trade scenario that would involve Atlanta's number 6 pick in the next week's draft, league sources say.
Okay, so we'll continue to talk about that again. We're 1 week away from the NBA draft. Let's continue to talk a little black and gold as they get back to work this week, getting ready for the 49ers. Sean Fazan at Sean Fazan Fox 8. The way to follow Sean over on social media. Sean, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing well, man. Let's get right into some of the storylines going into this week. And I'll do that quickly just after you give me your take, because I'm assuming it's like everyone else's from this aspect of it. No one saw what we saw coming Sunday. But I'll ask you in this aspect. I don't think it was a fluke in terms of this. You can point to the reasons why the Saints succeeded, and it's not to say that they can't do that, right? I'm not saying beat down people, but beating players one-on-one, Drew Brees making the right read, receivers making catches, defensive players making plays, right?
100%. That was not a single shred of fluke in that game. That was a beatdown that they earned every bit of it. Put on some fluky tip balls or crazy plays that don't normally happen in a game. The Saints thoroughly out-prepared, thoroughly out-coached, thoroughly out-executed Tampa Bay. And look, they had that game in them. We just been waiting to see it. We didn't know it was going to come against Tampa Bay. The team that was leading the NFC South, the team that was rolling, the team that had all the weapons. So for that kind of beatdown to come at that time was perfect. But in no way, shape, or form was it a fluke. Now, you could say, and we won't know the answer to this for the next couple of weeks, was it an outlier? And then now that's that could be realistic because we won't know if, you know, for the next couple of weeks, how, you know, can they put forth that kind of effort again? Absolutely. But we'll find out soon enough. But there was nothing fluky about that game. And right now, they sit atop the NFC South. And for the most part of that win streak, I don't know about you, Gus, but I kind of felt a kind of a shoulder shrug, if you will, from the fan base. Like, I guess it feels the same. It was a little blue collar, a little more, had to work really hard to get it. Well, their last win, that looked more like the Saints that many of us are accustomed to seeing. And perhaps they've turned the corner, but they got to string a few together like that. So we'll see.
Sean, obviously, a little bit about that game that we can use moving forward. We know the offense, and we thought, in theory, had those kind of weapons. So we'll get to that in a quick second. But I think the story was the defense. 9 quarterback hits, 3 sacks, 3 interceptions. You retweeted a Pro Football Focus stat that really shows perhaps the impact of Marcus Davenport coming back healthy.
Yeah, what week was that? I'd have to go back and check the tweet. But they're leading in the quarterback pressures. Pro Football Talks. They're putting pressure on the quarterback, and that really was the difference in the game, at least on that side of the ball, was how much the Saints were able to get consistent pressure both on the interior and exterior from that defensive line, with most of the time just rushing 4. I think I counted 9 in that game, 8-10. So not a terribly low number, but not obviously a high number as well. So they were able to get home with just 4 guys. It allowed them to play a lot of that dime package that we hadn't seen as much. I mean, they played it sometimes, but they played it a good bit. But they had 6 DBs on the field, and they were really able to match up well with a lot of the explosive weapons that Tampa Bay has on the outside because of that. So, and then they really kept Tampa. It really was a perfect example of complimentary football because they got a couple stops. Offense kept scoring. And by the time the first quarter is over, it's 21-0, and Tampa has to completely abandon their run game, so they're one-dimensional. I don't even recall many downs in first, second, or third that was less than 5 yards. I mean, almost every single down and distance was long. So it really was a great game plan by them, great execution by them. It was just one of those where it all just came together, and every now and then you'll see it. I'm sure last night I called it checkmate, where Sean Payton just has it, and the opposing coach just has no answer. And that's exactly what happened Sunday night.
You love watching X's and O's. And again, it goes back, I guess, to how we started this conversation. Speak with Sean Fazan for Fox 8 about not being fluky. But, I mean, that's what you had to have seen, right? When you look back at it, I mean, it was just one-on-one battles. And, you know, it's one of my kind of slash talking point storylines going into this week's game. People took it personally. Marshawn Lattimore took his matchup personally with Mike Evans. And I think when you see that, you know, Trey Hendrickson taking things personally, having that chip on your shoulder, I think the Saints play better that way.
Yeah, they definitely did. There definitely was a different level of focus for this game, whether it was Sunday night, whether it was against Tampa, whether it was against the way they've been a little bit oblivious to the rest of the league in terms of, you know, you talk about some of the best teams in the league, and here they are sitting there going into this game 5-2, and they weren't really getting much mention, much love, yet here they are at the beatdown, and now everyone's mentioning their names as Super Bowl contenders. And I just felt like the game plan, the preparation, and the execution was just so far ahead of Todd Bowles' defense, and on the flip side, Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians' offense, that the Saints just had them. And they had absolutely no answer. But really, by the midway through that third quarter, it was done. You could have pulled all your starters by midway through that third quarter and gave them a rest and rest up for San Francisco. So it really was just a game planning, personnel groupings, execution. I think the one thing I really liked, and Deuce and I talk about this all the time, I think the Saints are a man-to-man team. They ran a lot more of that man-2 coverage in this game, which is a man-to-man underneath and 2 safeties over the top. I think it helps the safeties be a little more strong. Yep. I think it helps the DBs get a little more. They know their responsibility as opposed to kind of figuring out big play. From a standpoint, that's what one thing I noticed. But all in all, it was just about as close to a perfect effort as you're going to get.
Speak with Sean Fazan, Fox 8. At Sean Fazan, Fox 8 is the way to follow him on Twitter. When you look at the offensive side, it's remarkable that Kamara was almost a decoy. You saw Michael Thomas get back into the swing of things, and just, again, 12 players getting a reception. And more importantly, Sean, none of that happens, though, I think, if the line doesn't do its job. It's interesting how Sean Payton's using Easton and also using Ruiz at the same time.
Yeah, I think that line's really in the zone right now when it comes to pass blocking, when it comes to run blocking, when it comes to not just the line, when they bring in Josh Hill and Michael Burton as sort of their power players, and even had James Hurst in the game. as well. So it all starts right there, and it was the story on both sides of the ball. But let's stick with offense in this case. Absolutely. It was the offensive lines where it all started. Kamara and Thomas kind of were blended into the game plan. They weren't the game plan, as you normally would see in other situations where the game plan is built around them. They were more built into the game plan, woven into the game plan, and it worked. I mean, you saw the first touchdown of Tre'Quan Smith. We did a film study on it. I mean, three guys on 3rd and 10, three guys covered Kamara on a wide receiver screen on 3rd and 10. Right. Let Tre'Quan Smith get behind him on that wheel route for the touchdown there. So, again, it was just one of the best performances you're going to see in an NFL game.
All right, so here are my three, I guess, storylines, which is remarkable because it's not really even about matchups. For me, going into this 49er game, Sean, A, make this a three-quarter game. I don't want this game decided in the fourth quarter, right? Two, take it personally. I mean, play that way that you played against some of those other players. Like, if I'm Lattimore, Ayoub, a rookie, can't have a big game against me if I shut down Mike Evans. And three, do you want to be great or are you great? You know, like Michael Jordan always says, do you want to do it or you go out there and do it? Look, Trey Hendrickson's kind of used that mantra this season, right? I mean, that guy has a motor on him. Do you want to be great or be great? Those are my three things, because this is a game that you can't allow to be a trap game.
Absolutely. And you can't go into it with the mindset of they're really injury prone, or they have a ton of injuries on San Francisco.
Right.
Thus, we can dial it back a little bit. That's not the case. You have to come in with the same fire, the same intensity, and the same focus that you had against Tampa Bay, regardless of who the opponent is. That's always a challenge, because in the week-to-week life of the NFL, things change. So, personnel changes, and sometimes effort's different. But you have to bring the same focus and the same energy this week. Do you want to be great or are you great? I think that's the story of life, right? I mean, I think a person that doesn't want to be great, but are you great? Can you get to that, reach that echelon? And I think the Saints can, but you got to stack a few of those great performances together. And I think this is the perfect opportunity against a wounded San Francisco team that you should beat fairly thoroughly to come in and sort of make that statement yet again. So, yeah, those are the things I'll be watching, because you don't want to take a step back after the effort you just had, because then you kind of fall into the "are they pretenders instead of contenders" category. So, absolutely, just keep the consistency going, and you're on the better path here. So it's really starting to tighten up here down the stretch.
Very important quarter of the season coming up, this third quarter. The Falcons, two of those three games. You got the 49ers and Broncos, teams that are struggling on the season. And then that final quarter, Sean, as you know, that's the doozy. You're at Philly, KC, Minnesota's always just a bad matchup, and then at Carolina. So I'm the Saints. I want this third quarter of the season, man, and help me take care of business here, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, and then generally over the last few years have done well in the month of November, but at times they are good for a clunker or two. We saw it last year when they played Atlanta, who was struggling after that bye week. I can recall back in, was 2011, they lost that game to the Rams, if I'm not mistaken. They was not playing well at that time. So they're due for it every now and then, so you got to guard against that. But I just think, it's taken them some time to figure out who they are, and hopefully more than anything else, last week showed them who they are and who they can be when they're clicking on all cylinders. So hopefully they have that mindset going forward.
Appreciate it. As always, man, what can we finding over on Fox 8 this week, man?
Yeah, tonight we got game plan at 10:30, and then Friday, Fox 8 Football Friday at 10:35, and then tailgate Sunday, and then final play Sunday night at 10:30.
Sounds good. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it, sir.
All right, thanks.
That's Sean Fazan Fox, the way to follow him over there on Twitter. When we come back, Daniel Salison for a half hour. We'll touch on some of the trade chatter that's going on here as well with some other folks as well. I want to focus a little bit on the Pelicans and their draft picks. How many do they have? Things of that nature. So we'll do that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Many years since I was here. Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today, or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. Dealing with battery problems? We've got you. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a free charge, we can help with that too. And if it's time for a new battery, we've got you covered. We're the only place you can find Duralast, the batteries more consumers choose. That's what makes us America's number one battery destination, where help is always in stock. Claims based on a proprietary consumer study and data from the NPD Group 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone!
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, it helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. 1 week from today, a very special Sports Hangover. Guess what I just did? I'm just going to add this. Ready? Sports Hangover Special Draft Day Edition. How about that, huh? Huh? How about that? I'm creative, ain't I? Real creative.
Kudos to you.
Yep, Daniel Salerson, part of the Pelicans Radio Network. He's going to be a part of it here as well. Make sure you dust off that blue chair right here in the studio. Daniel, how are you this afternoon? A week away, sir?
Yes. How many meetings did it take for you to get that name of that show? I figured there was a lot of people in a big conference room sitting down and breaking that down. But good kudos. I like it.
A stoplight. The stoplight on Cleary and West Metairie. That's how long it took me to come up with that. That's about it right there, my way to drop off the little guy. Daniel, in all seriousness, though, look, I mean, we touched on it yesterday. We got the start date. We know training camp will start the first week or so of December, more than likely the 22nd. We'll find out. We're still waiting for schedule. Still waiting for all of that. But Shams kind of brought up something very interesting here in the last few minutes that I want to pass along, because it's I wouldn't say the elephant in the room, but people want to know. Fans want to know, am I going to get to go to a Pelicans game? And this is what Shams tweeted. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I'll start off with the first tweet. The NBA has sent its 30 teams a memo with protocols for eligible markets to host fans, requiring people within 30 feet of court to register negative coronavirus test 2 days prior to game or rapid test on day of game, sources tell The Athletic. He then follows up, for arena suites at 25% capacity or less, testing would not be required for fans. Teams would be permitted for 50% if all fans were tested, or if local counties, or here, parishes, positively rate is 3% or below and 7-day average of new cases per 100,000 residents is 10 or fewer.
All right, so that's a lot of numbers, a lot of math, but Daniel, looks like we're going to be seeing some fans at the arena, which is the key here.
Yeah, I would think so, and it seems like, you know, you can kind of take what the Saints are doing here as they're gradually adding more fans into the Dome, starting with the 49ers and the Falcons and working their way up to the last couple of games here with the Chiefs and the Panthers. So it's just more of a it is interesting to see, because I don't think every city or every team is going to have that, you know, that kind of, I guess, flexibility, right, I would say. And so the fact that, you know, we're looking at Orleans Parish, and it seems like, you know, Orleans Parish is doing a really good job right now as far as a low positivity rate and things like that. So, yeah, this could be one of the cities that you do have some fans. Again, not sure how many, but you know that we're, you know, the team's going to do everything they can to have as many fans as possible. So it is encouraging. You know, we talked about rapid testing, and that's how the NBA survived the bubble, you know, testing players every day, all the staff every day, and then getting the test later that night. You know, if that's the case where these teams are eligible to get these and allowing fans to do so, it might make for a more interesting way to enter the arena. But at the same time, if you're able to watch and not have to worry about anything, I think it's a home run for everyone.
Pelicans going to have a handful of draft picks here. Daniel, let's just start, obviously, in the first round, 13th overall. So that's where they are. And there's a bit of fun history. I mean, you know, fans always like to know who's been picked at 13. Who's some names that stand out when you look back at the history of the 13th overall pick of the first round?
You know, surprisingly, with 13, there are a lot of really good pieces that teams have been able to draft at pick number 13. You go back to just last year in Tyler Hero, the rookie out of Kentucky that you saw in the NBA Finals kind of break out in the semis and the finals. He was one of those guys. And then 2 years before that, Donovan Mitchell, that was actually drafted by the Nuggets and then traded on draft night to the Utah Jazz. 2015, Devin Booker, you talk about how he's been a stud with the Phoenix Suns. Zach LaVine in 2014 is doing really well for Chicago Bulls. And then you can go back all the way to, at least I'm going to go back all the way to 1996 by the most, you know, the most successful pick number 13, and that is one named Kobe Bryant with the Charlotte Hornets. He was pick number 13 there in 1996. So you talk about it's a really hit or miss. I mean, the Pelicans technically last had it in 07. They drafted Julian Wright out of Kansas. So there are times that, you know, with any draft, there's going to be some that work out and some that don't. But there is some optimism that at pick number 13, you can have someone that will have an impact on this team, whether it's this year or whether it could be a project and, you know, they start blooming in the next couple of years.
All right, if I'm a Pels fan and I just heard that, I'm staying at 13, lucky number 13. Those are some ridiculous names right there, by the way. And again, though, it's like anything else, and we've seen this as Saints fans, Daniel. I mean, sometimes the draft works, sometimes it does. It's not. It's a crapshoot. You hope to scout. You hope to do that. We'll get to that in a quick second as to how you do that this year. But the Pels have a couple of handful picks right now going into draft night, 39, 42, and 63. In the second round, including that final pick, number 60. Do you see a change in how the second round picks perhaps are being viewed as opposed to a couple of seasons ago?
I think it's a tough situation there. I think 39 and 42 could be just as intriguing as number 13 because there are some guys out there that the beauty of, you know, being so low in that second round is, or being so high, is that some consider the first round talent and you don't have to pay them as first-round talent, and it doesn't help the player that gets drafted at that point. But there are some guys like Draymond Green-type guys that do sneak into the second round, and you're able to get them. Also, the beauty about having 39 and 42 is that could trade you up to get back in the late first round. There's someone else that you are eyeing besides pick number 13 and say, hey, we want to get to number 29 and pick up this person. 39 and 42 could do that with some teams maybe looking to get out of the first round. But with the G League, and also, you know, you look at last year with the Pelicans and Didi Luzada, you were able to draft him and stash him where he was playing in Australia. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the thing that you see a lot of teams doing with drafts and stashes. Well, they're not quite ready yet to be with your NBA team, but they get the experience somewhere else. We saw highlight videos of Didi and how much he's progressed and everyone really liking him, that you still realize, oh, that guy's technically under contract with the Pelicans. Can't go anywhere. And so I think you see a lot of these teams doing that, where with these early second-round picks, there's not a lot of risk to them. So why not take someone, put them in the G League, see what they do, and if not, then, you know, maybe next year. But that definitely has changed in the past as far as how teams approach this now with, you know, each team practically having their own G League organization.
Right, and that's what I was going to get into because, look, it's something we can talk next week at length as well. It's just I don't even know how to evaluate, if we had a full college season, players are just different right now. And you're essentially are drafting a player, even if they're in the lottery pick, Daniel, to develop later on. I mean, you take Anthony Davis. I mean, yeah, okay, look, he was good in his rookie year, but it's 4, 5, 6 seasons before they can become quote unquote MVP candidates or talent of that level in superstars. Very rarely are you going to, even LeBron James took a couple seasons before he got to the playoffs. So you essentially are looking at draft picks, whether they're number 1, 13, or 60, in hopes, I guess, to try to develop. And that's something that I took from David Griffin a year ago, where there's going to be an effort, at least with this organization, to try to create a place for them to grow their game until they're ready to come in and help.
Yeah, I think you have to preach patience. And with fans, it's not as easy because they look at top 3 picks or, you know, it's a first round pick and go, they expect this person to make an immediate impact. And then some of the times that is the case. You look at last year with Tyler Hero, who definitely wasn't that type of player at the beginning of the season. He was definitely a contender for Rookie of the Year all season long, but really stepped up there in the playoffs. But you're not going to have – everyone's not going to be a Tyler Hero, where you might take a flyer on him that say, well, we don't think he's going to be ready now, but we really like how his game could progress. He also could have only had 1 year in college. He's only 19, where if you draft maybe a four-year senior and then try to develop him, he might be 25, 26 by the time he steps on a court. So you have to take that in consideration too. But I think the big thing is that fans, you know, want to see results right away, and that's not the case. You know, you look at Jackson and Nikhil, you know, both of them went through some growth spurts in their first year. I don't know if Jackson even saw that, you know, he was going to step on the floor. A lot of people thought he was in the D League for most of the year. Turns out with injuries, he had a lot of time to play. And you saw some progress with him, but you also saw that he has some ways to go as far as developing his game on the offensive end, staying disciplined on the defensive end. And when you have a new head coach and Sam Mangini, those things could be worked out quicker than you normally thought. So I think with any of these picks, don't go into so much, one, whether it's a name that you know, but you also have to go into thinking, well, the best thing is that this guy can learn under this guy, and maybe in a couple years, he's ready to go. And I think that's the approach you have to take as a fan of either of any team in the NBA.
Very interesting you bring up that point. Speak with Daniel Salison, Pelicans Radio Network. He'll be with us in studio a week from today as we get you ready for the NBA draft. It is next Wednesday, because that was going to be my next question on talent and evaluating. And also, Daniel, it comes to fit. I know Jordan loves to bring up, well, look the Spurs have done historically, and some other teams to be able to use, you know, the Warriors second round picks that actually go on to be good players. But I think a lot of it is fit, right? So I am assuming, Daniel, that the Pels are sitting here looking at potential draft picks with players that maybe fit Stan Van Gundy's style, whether it's defense, three-point shooting, ball handling, things of that nature that kind of fit what Stan Van Gundy wants to do over the next couple of years.
Absolutely. And we talk about David Griffin and what he said last year, and a lot of it also has to do with the character of these guys, guys that are going to buy in, guys that are not going to be those guys that demand the ball or demand playing time. You want high-character guys on your team that are going to develop in your system the way that these David Griffin and Stan Van Gundy want them to. And so you're going to have to keep an eye on, you know, what Stan's going to do with the offense. Is it going to be a fast-paced offense like Alvin Gentry, or he might slow it down a little bit, but he wants shooters surrounding those bigs in Zion Williamson and Jackson Hayes. Defensively, you know that Stan Van Gundy has been known to have top-10 defenses almost every year that he's been a head coach in the NBA. So do you want someone that you value as a defense gritty guy that can be that maybe 3-and-D guy, that wing that, you know, the Pelicans have been looking for the last 2 years? There's a lot of different directions that this team can go, and not only pick number 13, but those second-round picks. And, yeah, the Spurs have been really good about that, but also keep in mind for the Pelicans, this is a new regime. They've only done this for 1 year now with David Griffin. And last year you saw what he did when he was able to trade and get some big assets in Jackson and Nikhil, but also a bevy of picks for the future. So he knows he values these picks, and he values developing players within his organization. So I think that approach, you kind of have to, you know, you can't really look at the past and go, well, look at this team's doing. It's a different scenario for each team. Some are looking to win now and want that person to plug in and say, you're going to be an impact and go. And some are going to say, we don't expect you to do much this year, but in the next couple of years, we expect you to have a big impact on our team.
Final question for this segment, then we'll bring you back and kind of take a broad overall look at the draft here as well. Again, we're just getting started over the next couple of days. We'll get you, you know, different takes and opinions to where the Pels can sort of go with different types of folks that cover the Pelicans here as well. But Daniel, when you look at evaluating and trying to get a grade, I guess, on these players in a COVID world, in a shortened season where you didn't have the NCAA March Madness, which I feel, Daniel, a lot of players can help their stock, right, on how they play those games and things of that nature, where you see them in competitive environments like that and high-pressure situations. So is it sort of like what we saw at the NFL draft, where maybe interviews, opinions on coaches, on what they think of their players, and quite honestly, just what's on game tape, probably going to take an even more importance level?
Yeah, the good thing is, you know, we talked to Trajan Langdon during the hiatus, and he talked about that. There were still enough games from them to see in the college season to get a good idea for some of these players. Yes, you do lose some of that when you don't have the tournament, because you're right. I think some people improve. Some people also hurt their draft stock with how things go in the NCAA tournament. But also you're starting to see that these teams are able to have workouts with certain players, whether they come to the facility or they travel to them. So I feel like you're starting to see leaks of who worked out with who. Some go to the Pelicans, some do not. And so you are able to get a better idea. They have the game tape on them, but also for what David Griffin and Stan and Van Gundy and Trajan Langdon want is how the personality fits with what they want to do. And in-person interviews or Zoom interviews and certain combine things that they may have been able to do during COVID, you're still going to be able to look at. But I don't, with draft grades, I really don't believe in, you know, draft grading someone right away. It takes a couple of years to figure out if it really was a good pick or something.
All right, Daniel, sit tight. When we come back, we'll take a look at the teams, the top of the draft, some of the big names coming out as well. Perhaps could be draft picks. We're a week away from the NBA draft. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING is the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
It was 1972, and in Miami, the Dolphins went undefeated. In New York City, disco was just getting started. And in Houma, the Foster family opened their Terminex business to help protect the good folks of South Louisiana from nasty pests. When you want to sock it to those nasty roaches, termites, and rodents, you want the local pros from Terminex on your side.
So call those Bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
The new Michelin silicone blades last through everything.
On a world record-breaking drive from Alaska to South America in unpredictable conditions.
Thunderstorms, ice storms, they just don't quit.
Rainier Zeitlode chose Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades with advanced quad-tech four-layer coated silicone that repels water, snow, and ice and lasts two times longer than other blades.
It's coming down in sheets.
Real-world proven. Extreme weather wiping performance. Upgrade to Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades today. Only at Walmart.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Second straight segment with Daniel Salison of the Pelicans Radio Network. We are your home for Pelicans basketball Christmas week. One of those days the Pelicans will take to the court. Daniel, one more Pels question, and we'll start getting into the rest of the draft here in the league here. And again, next Wednesday, full 3 hours will be on the draft, and we'll get you as much info as possible. But last year, what, the max number of televised games, obviously with Zion and the potential of him being drafted is why that was the case. I can't expect you're going to see that much of a drop in terms of that. Pels maybe do play on the opening day, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how they do this. If they go like a traditional schedule, I think we talked about it yesterday, that if the season opens on Tuesday the 22nd, usually there's one or two games that night that usually happen on Turner that are the main guy, the main ones. And then Wednesday is when most of the other teams will start, and then you have Christmas 2 days later. So, you know, it might be something where the Pelicans could be one of those featured teams on opening night like they have been in the past, and then they'll have a couple days off and play on Christmas Day. It's going to be interesting, and I think that's why you won't see the schedule until after the draft and free agency, because you do want to see if any major teams, you know, any major players or superstars move teams, and you want to get those, you know, those appealing matchups for the fans. And so it'll be interesting to see how they come up with the schedule. That's the thing, is we know a date, but we don't know anything else besides that. So these next couple of weeks are going to be real fascinating.
I think one of the things when you look at the rest of the draft here as well, Minnesota is your top pick overall. And it's interesting as to where they may go. I mean, where, Look, it's crazy to me because just a couple of seasons ago, and you know this from traveling and going over there, that place loves its basketball. Really nice fan base there. And I kind of thought two seasons ago, man, they were a team that was kind of ready to take that next step. And then last year sort of happened. Where do you think they go? And what do you think their future is for the T-Wolves?
It's really interesting with them because, you know, they were with the Jimmy Butler situation in Minnesota. They were an 8 seed the 1 year that they had Jimmy, but they were projected to be a 3 or 4 seed until he got hurt and he missed a good amount of the season. And then Minnesota kind of dropped from there. But as soon as that Jimmy Butler trade happened, you know, the Wolves were back in sort of rebuilding mode. And then, you know, during the trade deadline this year, it was acquiring D'Angelo Russell. So they had their kind of 1-2 punch with Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. I think the goal is to build around them. But with a lot of these teams, I wouldn't say the Warriors are one of these teams. When you're looking at Minnesota at 1, Charlotte at 3, Bulls at 4, it's really about best player available instead of maybe positional need. Like, look, if LaMelo, technically you had D'Angelo Russell as your point guard, but who goes to say they won't draft LaMelo Ball at number 1 because that is their point guard of the future. You know, they really don't need a James Wiseman when you have Karl Anthony Towns. But I think some of it could be by position, but some of it could also be, look, you know, we don't have anyone that's good enough to say we're going to, you know, not pick your position just yet. So I think that's what's going to be interesting about how these teams view these players, because you could see a team like Minnesota that says, we like the guy that could be drafted at number 3 or 4, so why don't we trade back, get another asset, and then pick at number 3 and 4, and we still get the guy we want. So I think in these next couple of days leading up to the draft on Wednesday, you're going to hear so many rumors about teams looking to trade up, teams looking to trade back, teams or players involved in these trades. Some of it's going to be, you know, calculated as far as trying to say, oh, this, you know, people are asking to move to number 3. Should we be a team that moves to number 3? Or, oh, this player might be made available. Should we inquire about them? So you might see a lot of leaks, but they might be calculated based on what these teams are looking for at their draft position.
Daniel, when you look at the rest of the top 10, Golden State 2, Charlotte 3, the Bulls 4, Cleveland 5, Atlanta 6, Detroit 7, the Knicks are 8th, DC is 9, and Phoenix is 10. It's interesting, I look at the top 10, I think of teams that, you know, had some nice seasons last year, kind of looked like they were turning a little bit on the right direction. Golden State's intriguing to me because, look, that was injuries. I mean, that's injuries. When you lose an MVP, when you lose Klay Thompson, I mean, that's why they're at 2. I've always been of the, if I'm them, I'm out of there. And, you know, for somebody that maybe wants the 2 overall, do you think they stay at 2 or make a trade?
I definitely think they're a team that could be shopping around, and they might not, you know, they are seen like a team that we've seen that they say they like this many players. And so I think what they're trying to do is build up that stock in number 2 where a team might go, man, if they really like, they could take 1 of 5 people at number 2 and really rock this NBA draft from the get-go. So you might have teams call in and say, hey, what do we have to do to get to number 2? So I think you're right. I think with Golden State, it's different because with all the injuries, they're getting back Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. They got Andrew Wiggins in a trade with Minnesota that involved D'Angelo Russell. And now you're going to add potentially another piece. They still could pick at number 2. They can go for a center like James Wiseman to kind of, you know, round out their starting 5, or they could say, you know, we'd rather have that veteran piece because we're still in win now mode, that we still have a window of 2 or 3 years where we can grab another championship or 2 with the talent that we have. Maybe we don't need this pick right now at number 2. So it's going to be interesting with them. They could kind of be the domino as far as what happens after the number 1 pick, number 2, if someone jumps up and takes someone, or Golden State stays there and picks someone like a Weissman or an Anthony Edwards.
Am I speaking with Daniel Salerson, Pelicans Radio Network, for about 3 more minutes here? Daniel, am I wrong on this, but I don't feel like there's a Zion Williamson, AD. I don't feel like there's a consensus number 1 overall. I almost think it's where you want to go if you're Minnesota. Am I wrong on that?
You're not wrong. There's definitely no Zion or John Morant at 1 and 2, which gives you the benefit of not having those picks this year. But there is a lot of good talent, and people are talking about this is a pretty deep draft where there's a lot of good talent in the top 10. When you talk about Edwards and Weissman and Ball, even talk about Obi Toppin, Denny Avdija from Israel, and Killian Hayes, another name that's brought up with a lot of top 10 teams. So there are a lot of there's a lot of good talent out there, but there's not that sexy, oh, you already know who's going to go number one like last year and who's going to go number two. So that's where it could get interesting with a lot of trades on draft night, where if these guys, these teams think they can get their guy maybe further down, then maybe they trade out of their top two or three pick and get them at five or six, because there really is not a huge difference between one, two, and three and maybe six, seven, eight, nine, ten. There are not a lot of tiers, I guess you would say, in this draft compared to others. So that's what's going to be real interesting on draft, and I think it's going to be a really active draft as far as trades are concerned. And everyone could do a mock draft now, but they're probably going to have to tear it up come next Wednesday.
I'm not even attempting that. That's why I have you on, sir. Final thing for you, and again, we got 3 hours coming up next Wednesday. Daniel will be sitting in studio with us as well. We'll have the graph and others and a bunch of other surprises for you. But I look at it like this. So I'll just ask you this as a little teaser. Is it a deep draft or not? And if there is depth, is there a certain position? Is it shooting? Is it point guard? Is it bigs? I mean, what do you see that could be a thicker part of the draft here, if there is one?
Yeah, I think for the Pelicans, there are a couple, positions that they could look for here in this draft. I think the big thing is whether you get a shooter, whether that's a guard, necessarily that can help you shoot, whether that's a 3-and-D guy or a wing that can play multiple positions and stretch out the floor at the 3 or 4 spot, and then whether there are some bigs that can shoot. I think the big thing is for the Pelicans is probably some shooters, whether it's a guard or forward or a center that's out there. But yeah, there is enough depth and enough talent in this draft where the Pelicans can get someone at 13 and be really pleased with it. But they also could trade up. They can also trade back. I mean, that's the thing that we really don't know, and it's hard to say. But it seems like there is enough talent out there that no matter where they are in the draft this year, they're going to get someone that can impact them not only in this season, but seasons to come. So it is exciting if you're a Pelicans fan that even if you think, oh, 13th, it doesn't really matter. It does matter. And there are some quality bigs. There's some quality guards that can fall to you at pick number 13. And it just depends on who jumps, Again, a team can jump right in front of the Pelicans to get someone that the Pelicans didn't even have their eye on, which means they can get someone that they wanted at 13 and maybe thought they weren't going to be there at 13. So I think that's where, if you're fans that sit on Twitter all day and kind of look at the rumors, giddy up for this, this next week, because I think there's going to be a lot of drama, a lot of trades, and it could get wild next Wednesday. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to expect you with notebooks full of notes for next Wednesday, but I think you can confirm this right now and dismiss it. You don't need to be Stein or Shireen or Woj, but can you confirm or deny the Pelicans will not take Jordan Kleberg with the 13th overall pick of the first round?
I can confirm that will not be the case come draft night. There will be no draft for Jordan, for him to walk down the virtual, shake Adam Silver's virtual hand and things like that. Jordan will not be drafted.
Sorry, Jordan.
Got to get ready for undrafted free agent signing. So that's where he's going to have to make his money.
Hey,
I'm ready for it.
You had all this time to learn how to dunk, and you haven't dunked yet. If you
I'm
can't dunk, you're
rim.
Not playing.
I'm grabbing the rim.
It's not happening. Thank you, Daniel. We'll talk next Wednesday, sir. There he goes, Daniel Salas. And Hour 1 has been brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. Don't go anywhere. Hour 2 next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It